वेदांडस्या ज्ञानांजनाचलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. And fortunate to have the most precious and sacred association of His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Everyone, kindly welcome Maharaj to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. यथा राधा प्रिया विष्णु तस्य कुंडम प्रिया तथा सर्वगोपीषु सर्वैका विष्णुर अत्यंत बल्लभा. Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake known as Radha Kund is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved, purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a verse from the Padma Purana. Today we are celebrating that most auspicious festival of the appearance day of Sri Radha Kund. On the order of Sri Giriraj Maharaj, I will speak something, what I can share with you in regard to this wonderful pastime, and then he will illuminate your hearts with transcendental knowledge. Shukadev Goswami explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Kamsa was sending one demon after another to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains there that this material world is such a contaminated place that even in Vrindavan, the Lord's own abode, so many demons are coming to cause disturbances. What to speak of anywhere else? We should not think that because we have come to Krishna consciousness that this material world will become a nice place. Whether we are devotees or not devotees, there will always be adversities. There will always be problems. There will always be attacks from within and without by demoniac forces. But the difference is, for those persons who are of materialistic consciousness, when they are plagued with the problems of this world, they simply become frustrated and they take shelter of material resources for relief, which further perpetuates their bondage and misery. But devotees, they blissfully seek shelter in the lotus feet of Krishna by chanting his holy name. And in this way, they gradually experience the ultimate sweetness of Krishna's divine love and transcend all of the contaminations of this material existence. So Kamsa sent a very terrible demon of the name Aristasura, who appeared in the form of a tremendous bull. This bull was so big, you have seen when there's just an ordinary bull walking down the street, how everyone becomes very much afraid to come near him. But Aristasura was larger than a mountain. His body was so huge that the clouds were hovering around his body like a mountain. And he began to run into Vrindavan with such force, with such speed and anger. His hooves were tearing the earth to pieces. And as he was galloping into Braja, the earth was trembling like an earthquake. In fact, it was an earthquake due to his influence. And even pregnant women and cows, just out of the fear of the shaking of the earth, they were having miscarriages. And as Aristasura was coming closer and closer into Vrindavan, his eyes were red with rage. And the Brijabasis, in great fear, when they saw him coming and heard him, he was growling, he was roaring in such a way it was piercing people's ears and hearts. They cried out, "Krishna, Krishna, please protect us." In Vrindavan, when everything was nice by the Yogamaya potency, everyone thought Krishna is their friend, their child, or their lover. Yashoda Mai is thinking, if I do not feed Krishna, then he will become sick, and perhaps even he will die. And his friends, they are playing with him as an equal, sometimes wrestling, sometimes defeating him in various games and sports. But when the terrible demons would come, they would immediately recognize that only Krishna can save us. But then after he killed the demons, they would, Yogamaya potency would cover them to think it must be due to our pious acts that Krishna has, we have been saved. So the Brijabasis were calling out, "Krishna, save us." And Krishna came before Aristasura. And he was very calmly standing with his arm on the shoulder of one of his gopas. And he called out to Aristasura, "That you terrible demon, you have caused so much distress to my friends in Vrindavan. Therefore today I will send you to the kingdom of death. You have come for a challenge. Now I am ready." So Aristasura, hearing these words, he became ever so more angry. And with eyes burning in rage, he pointed his terrible sharpened horns right at the beautiful body of Lord Krishna and began to run with full force, roaring and roaring and roaring. And Krishna effortlessly took him by the horns and threw him to the ground. When he was thrown to the ground, he became even more angry. And he got to his feet and again attacked Lord Sri Krishna. And Krishna again took him by the horns and threw him to the ground, breaking his powerful, mighty horns. And then with his lotus feet, the same feet that the gopis would meditate upon, that when Krishna was herding the cows in the forest, they were thinking that the stones and the pebbles of Vrindavan are so hard and Krishna's lotus feet are so soft that he must be experiencing great pain just by walking. Those same soft, lovely feet, when they were kicking Aristasura, they were like mighty, mighty, deathly blows. Said Krishna kicked him again and again, just as one kicks a wet cloth to wring it out. And as he was being kicked by Krishna, his eyes started bulging from their sockets. Blood started flowing profusely from his mouth. He began to pass urine and stool simultaneously. He began to kick his legs violently in the air. And then, by the mercy of Bhagavan Sri Govinda, Aristasura entered into the kingdom of death. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. And the demigods, being very pleased, they were chanting nice songs and showering flowers upon Krishna. And everyone was chanting the glories of Krishna. And Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys again entered into the village of Vrindavan. And everyone was singing the glories of Krishna, who had just killed this terrible, terrible demon, Aristasura. So later on, at night, Krishna approached his beloved consort, Srimati Radharani, to enjoy their beautiful leela of transcendental love. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this story from Padma Purana, that Sri Radharani, along with her sakis, they told to Krishna that we will not play with you tonight. In fact, we will not allow you to even touch us, because you have become sinful, because you killed a cow, a male cow. You may say that he was a demon, but nevertheless, this is Gokul, the place of the protection of cows, and you have killed this bull. Therefore, unless you bathe in all the holy places, you cannot atone for this terrible sin. So, Lord Krishna, he replied that I can bathe in all the holy places, but why should I leave Vrindavan? Vrindavan is the holiest of all holy places. There are so many wonderful stories. Once when Nanda Maharaj was thinking it is the pious duty of all followers of Sanatana Dharma to go to Badrinath and Kedarnath, he was packing his carts to bring Krishna, thinking Krishna will get very good grace of Lord Vishnu if we go to these holy places of Tirtha in Himalayas. So Krishna said, there is no need. We should never leave Vrindavan. And he brought Badrinath and Kedarnath to Kamyavan in Braja. So similarly, Krishna told Radharani that I will bring all the holy places right here in this very spot. And he took his beautiful lotus foot and he made an impression in the earth. And then he called for the holy places. And all the holy places in the entire universe appeared at that very spot. And they all began with folded hands and hearts full of love to introduce themselves to Lord Krishna. I am the Bhogavati, I am Ganga Devi, I am Jamuna, I am Pushkar, I am like that. So Krishna instructed them, and they all took the form of holy waters and filled the kund. And that became Shama Kund. And then Krishna took nice bath very happily in that kund. And then he came out of the water and he told Srimati Radharani that, you see how I have performed such a pious activity? What have you done? And besides that, you have taken the sides of a demon, and therefore you are contaminated. So you should also. So Srimati Radharani, he said, you should also bathe in my kund. And Radharani said, no, I will not bathe in your kund. I will make my own kund. So she went just south of Shamakund, and there was the hoof marks of Aristasura. And her friends, the gopis, they began to dig with their hands, and they excavated a very, very nice kund. And then Krishna, he said to Sri Radharani, now you have a nice kund, and I will take my waters from my kund to fill yours. She said, how will we do like this? Your waters are contaminated by the sin of killing a bull. We will get our own waters from the pure and fresh reservoir of Manasiganga. So millions and millions of gopis were assembled, and with buckets they all began to work very nicely in the service of Sri Radharani to bring the water from Manasiganga to her kund. At that time, Krishna, wanting to give pleasure to his eternal pleasure potency, his life, his soul, his object of complete affection, he instructed the personification of all holy places to approach Sri Radharani. So he approached her with folded hands and began to glorify her with so many beautiful prayers. O Srimati Radharani, you are the Supreme Lakshmi, the Goddess of Fortune. All of the greatest demigods, they are always aspiring for the dust of your lotus feet. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of all Lords, decorates your beautiful feet with wonderful colors and places ankle bells upon you and worships you. So please, we have come begging you to fulfill our desire. And Srimati Radharani replied, what is your desire? That we want to please you. We want to serve you. Please allow us to fill your kund with our waters. So hearing the heartfelt loving prayers and knowing this was truly the desire of her beloved Govinda, she said, yes, please come. And then the waters from Shamakund, which are the liquid personified prem or love, they swelled up to such an extent that they broke through the boundaries of Shamakund and flooded into Sri Radhakund and filled her up. When Krishna saw the beauty of Sri Radhakund, he explained that in all of the creation and all of existence, Srimati Radharani, you are most dear to me. And this kund now is as dear to me as you. And Srimati Radharani said, Krishna said, let us bathe in this kund. And Srimati Radharani replied that I will also bathe in your Shamakund, even if you killed millions and millions of Aristasuras. And anyone who comes to bathe in these kunds will receive the very love of my own heart. So in this way, Radhakund and Shamakund became the most confidential place of Lord Sri Krishna and Sri Radharani's pastimes. They would perform the most confidential of all of their leelas, their rasa leela, on the banks of Sri Radhakund. And the great acharyas have glorified this place as the most holy and sacred place in all of existence. They explain how in Goloka Vrindavan, one time Radha and Krishna were together and they were feeling such love for each other that Krishna in his ecstasy took the form of Radha and Radha took the form of Krishna. And not seeing the one that they adored and loved, they were feeling separation and they began to weep tears. And this filled these two lakes in Goloka. And then they both bathed in those lakes, and Krishna became Krishna and Radha became Radha. And in this way, this became, even in Goloka Vrindavan, their most favorite and intimate place of Leela. After Krishna left this world, Radhakund and Shamakund were forgotten. And Krishna's great-grandson, Vajra, was ordered by Maharaj Yudhisthira to be the king of Mathura. So the Vrijabasis were requesting that he re-establish the places of Krishna's Leela. But he did not know how he could do like this. So it is explained that he sat on the bank of Jamuna and he began to pray. But by the divine arrangement of the Lord, he was sitting under a Kalpa Vriksha tree. The trees of Vrindavan will fulfill all one's desires. So he was praying, please, I desire to find all of the holy places of Radha and Krishna's Leela and reveal them to the world. So by the grace of Jamuna Devi and this Kalpa Vriksha tree, all of the holy places were revealed to him. And in this place called Arita Gram, where Krishna killed Aristasura, he revealed the holy place of Shama Kund and Radha Kund and excavated. But as the millenniums passed, again the holy places of Vrindavan were covered. And that same Lord Sri Krishna, in the mood of his eternal and beloved life and soul, Srimati Radharani, appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he traveled to Vrindavan. It is explained by Kaviraj Goswami that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri, he was always in the ecstasy of Radharani's love for Krishna. But when he would even think of Vrindavan, that love would increase hundreds of times. And when he decided to go to Vrindavan and he was traveling through the Jarikanda forest, just the anticipation of coming to Vrindavan, that love would increase thousands of times. And when he entered into Mathura Mandal, came to Vishram Ghat, the district of Mathura, that love increased thousands of times. And when he actually entered into Vrindavan and wandered through the 12 forests, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes that love increased unlimitedly. But while he was in Vrindavan, he was very anxious to rediscover the holiest of all of all holy places, Radha Kund and Shama Kund. So he was inquiring from the Vrijabasis, but no one had any idea where it may be. When he came to the village of Arita Gram, he was inquiring from all the neighboring people, but no one knew. But as the Supreme Lord of Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Chandra, he understood everything. So he was sitting under a tamal tree, meditating on the beauty of Brajbhumi. And there he could see with his divine eyes the original forms of Radha Kund and Shama Kund. But at that time there was a thick and dense forest all around. And within this forest there was a field of paddy. And within that paddy field there were two very, very small ponds with just a little quantity of water in each one. And he could understand this was the most sacred of all sacred places, Radha Kund, Shama Kund. And with great ecstasy of love, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into those waters and took his bath, chanting these beautiful prayers in the glorification of Radha and Krishna. And then, with the mud from Sri Radha Kund, he decorated his own beautiful golden form with tilak in 12 places. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the very heart of the Leela of Radha and Krishna to the world. Lord Chaitanya then returned to Jagannath Puri, and he sent Rupa Sanatan Goswamis to Vrindavan with the special instruction to locate and excavate the holy places of Braja. Raghunath Das Goswami, also after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, went to Vrindavan, and Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis instructed him and blessed him to make his residence on the banks of Sri Radhakund. So Raghunath Das Goswami was residing by these two simple puddles in the paddy field, but with his divine vision he could actually see the wonderful Leela of Radha and Krishna taking place there in the mood of ecstatic separation. And knowing Lord Chaitanya's desire, one day he was thinking that wouldn't it be nice if we could excavate these two ponds into beautiful kunds where people from all around could come and worship this place as a place of pilgrimage. But he was thinking, he was living in a very secluded place, that I should not be thinking, because to excavate these kunds means I need lots of money. And where will I find lots of money? This is not a proper desire for me. I should simply be meditating on the name and Leela of Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, and Radha and Krishna. At that very time, one very wealthy man went to Badri Gashram to worship Badri Vishal, and his worship was to give a very large donation. Badrinath appeared to him in a dream and told him, do not give your money here, but you should go to Vrindavan, and there near Sri Giri Govardhan is the beautiful lakes of Shyamakund and Radhakund. You will find the greatest of all devotees, Raghunath Das Goswami, and you should give him whatever money he requires to excavate Radhakund and Shyamakund. So he came to Vrindavan and he met with Raghunath Das Goswami, and Das Goswami could understand this was the will of the Lord. So he personally arranged for the excavation of Radhakund and Shyamakund. First there was the excavation of Radhakund, and then as he was about to excavate Shyamakund, the evening before, Maharaj Yudhisthira appeared to him in a dream and said, myself and my four brothers are in the form of trees meditating on the beautiful Leela of Radha and Krishna. So please do not disturb our bhajan. So the next day, Raghunath Das Goswami located those trees and told the excavators that they should make their plan without disturbing. So for this reason, Shyamakund is shaped in a not a square way. Another time, Raghunath Das Goswami was thinking that Radhakund is so sacred and there's no other water here. We should not use Radhakund to wash utensils or to use when we go for responding to nature and these other purposes. So he decided to dig a well close by. And as his servants, his disciples were digging this well, the Vrijabasis, they hit a stone, and that stone began to bleed profusely. So they stopped digging. And that night, Lord Sri Krishna appeared to Raghunath Das Goswami and explained that Govardhan is none different than my body. And Shyamakund and Radhakund are the eyes of Govardhan. And when your devotees were digging They dug into my tongue and they caused blood. Now you should know that this stone is my very tongue. You should take it out from where it is and you should place it in a temple and worship it. So to this very day, nearby the banks of Sri Radha Kund is the temple established by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami of the tongue of Govardhan. The greatest of our acharyas worshipped Radha Kund. It was there that Raghunath Das Goswami exhibited the highest sentiments of Prema Bhakti as the Prayojana Guru. It was there on the banks of Sri Radha Kund that Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami chose to write the most important, the purest of all literatures, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was there on the banks of Sri Radha Kund that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had written the most celebrated, comprehensive, and intimate commentaries ever written on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was there on Sri Radha Kund that Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami would often do their worship. And it is in this place of Radha Kund that Srila Prabhupada received some of the most important and intimate instructions from his own beloved spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramhans, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. At this time, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who Srila Prabhupada said, Bombay is Giriraj and Giriraj is Bombay. So since we are all trying to preach in Bombay, we are all simply assisting Giriraj, who is Bombay, and Bombay, who is Giriraj. We are all trying to assist him in whatever small way we can in his wonderful mission to Srila Prabhupada. And he will explain to us this most wonderful historical leela of Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada's wonderful exchange with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Today is the appearance of Radha Kund. Krishna appeared on Janmashtami, Radharani appeared on Radhashtami, and Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, who are non different than Radha and Krishna, appeared on Bahulashtami. Giriraj Maharaj, please counteract the offenses of this Aristasura making noises. And your feet are the reservoir of all holy places. Please purify these devotees' hearts.
Actually, Bombay is also an important place in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. He came to Bombay, and for some time he assisted his godbrothers here to establish one center for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Sri Gaudiya Math. He actually found the place and arranged for the rent, and eventually Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Bombay and visited the place. One of the sannyasis that Srila Prabhupada worked with here Bhakti Saranga Goswami, he appreciated Srila Prabhupada's service and asked Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to make him the president of the temple. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that for the time being he need not live in your association, but when the time comes he will do everything himself. You don't have to recommend him. Once in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada explained that he met a man in Bombay who had a large property in Villaparla. And Villaparla was considered very far from Bombay. Even in 1970, when we first came to Bombay, Juhu was considered very far, almost like the jungle. So the man offered to give a big piece of land to Srila Prabhupada. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Bombay, Srila Prabhupada was thinking of introducing the man to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But then he was afraid, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was such a strong preacher. So Srila Prabhupada was afraid that if he brought the man to his Guru Maharaj and his Guru Maharaj preached to him, he may not give the donation. Anyway, coming back to the history, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur visited Bombay in 1935. And went to Jagannath Puri and Calcutta. He preached on the radio there, welcomed back his preachers from Europe, and then left for Vrindavan at the auspicious time of Kartik. And for 1 month he stayed near Radhakund, in the house that had been constructed by his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And even today, the same house exists, and it is managed by the Gaudiya Mutt. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stayed there for 1 month and spoke on the Upanishads, on Srimad Bhagavatam, and on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He also installed the deities of Shishi Radha Kunja Vihari at the Kunja Vihari Mutt, which is also near Radha Kund. So Srila Prabhupada, hearing of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's visit to Vrindavan, thought that here is an opportunity for him to again meet his spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada did not have so much personal association with his spiritual master. He said altogether about 2 weeks. But of course, Srila Prabhupada took the instructions of his spiritual master into his heart and always remembered the instructions and tried to serve them to the best of his ability. And therefore he was always intimately connected with his Guru Maharaj through service. But still, he was very glad to take advantage of the opportunity to meet his Guru Maharaj by the side of Radha Kund. So now I will read about the momentous meeting between Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Srila Prabhupada some very significant instructions. Now, as they walked together alone on the bank of Radha Kund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta turned and spoke confidentially to Abai. There had been some quarreling amongst his leading disciples in Calcutta, he said, and this distressed him very much. Even now, in Vrindavan, it weighed heavily on his mind. Some of his disciples had been fighting over who would use various rooms and facilities at the Gaudiya Math headquarters in Calcutta. These devotees were all members of the same mutt, and the building was for propagating Krishna consciousness under the leadership of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Yet even in their spiritual master's presence, they were quarreling. Brahmins and Vaishnavas were supposed to be free from envy of any creature. What to speak of envy of one another? If they were to fight now, what would they do after their spiritual master passed away? Abai had no part in these matters and did not even know the details or who was involved. But as he listened to his spiritual master, he also became distressed. Deeply concerned, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said to Abai, "Agun dvalbe, there will be fire. One day there would be fire in the Calcutta Gaudiya Math, and that fire of party interests would spread and destroy." Abai heard but did not know what to make of it. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had fought so long and boldly to establish that anyone of any birth could be elevated to become a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or a Vaishnav. But if his followers became contaminated by a little wealth and the desire for prestige, thereby showing themselves to be still low-class men, despite their training and purification, then his mission would be disrupted. In the name of religion, they became attached to ease, position, and prestige. If in the name of religion, they became attached to ease, position, and prestige, it could only mean that they had failed to grasp the teachings of their spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada, he was lamenting that these men are simply after the stones and bricks of the building. He condemned. He was very, very sorry. When we were living in a rented house, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, if we could collect 200 or 300 rupees, we were living very nicely at Ultadanga. We were happier then. But since we have been given this marble palace and Bagh Bazaar, there is friction between our men. Who will occupy this room? Who will occupy that room? Who will be the proprietor of this room? Everyone is planning in different ways. It would be better to take the marble from the walls and secure money. If I could do this and print books, that would be better. Abai felt his spiritual master speaking to him in urgency, as if asking him for help or warning him to avert a disaster. But what could he do? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta then said directly to Abai, Amar Ichha Chila Kichu Bai Karana. I had a desire to print some books. If you ever get money, print books. Standing by Radha Kund and beholding his spiritual master, Abhay felt the words deeply enter his own life. If you ever get money, print books. So Radha Kund is so important in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They enjoy their most intimate pastimes there. Only their most confidential associates are allowed to come there, and therefore they can exchange in their mood of love without any restriction. Understanding the supreme importance of Radha Kund, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu searched for it and eventually discovered it, as we heard. Raghunath Das Goswami lived by the banks of Radha Kund and set the example of how to worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of separation at Radha Kund. Raghunath Das Goswami was so renounced that he did not even have a place to stay. He would simply live under the sky. And sometimes wild animals, ferocious beasts would come, like tigers would come and drink the water of Radha Kund. And tigers are extremely dangerous. Friday night we were at the Kar Satsang Center, and during the middle of the lecture, one chua came out and ran through the devotees in the audience. And everyone was completely terrified. I didn't know what was happening. And then they told me it was a mouse. So I thought, what if it was a tiger? But Raghunath Das Goswami was so absorbed in remembrance of Krishna that he didn't care for his body or his personal safety at all. And tigers actually came to Radha Kund, and they easily could have devoured him. But Lord Krishna personally protected Raghunath Das Goswami and kept the tigers away from him. Another time, Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting in the hot sun doing bhajan. And again, Lord Krishna came and sheltered him from the hot sun. So Sanatan Goswami also lived nearby at Govardhan, at Manasi Ganga. And even when he was in Vrindavan, Sanatan Goswami would come to Govardhan every day and do parikrama. And he used to visit Raghunath Das Goswami, because he was very affectionate to him. So when he saw how tigers were coming and Krishna was personally protecting Raghunath Das, and how Raghunath Das was sitting in the hot sun and again Krishna was protecting him, he thought that it is not good that Raghunath Das has no protection at all, and that Krishna himself is obliged to come and protect him. So he advised Raghunath Das, or rather he insisted That Raghunath Das accept at least some small shelter, bhajan kutir, so that he can be protected and peacefully do his bhajan. And Sanatana Goswami personally arranged for it. So the Goswamis were so renounced, they didn't have anything and they didn't want anything. And therefore they were free to remember the pastimes of the Lord and chant the holy names day and night without any distraction. But in the course of time, things changed. Previously, even if a saintly person just lived in a cave, people would come to meet him and hear him. But as Kali Yuga progressed, people became more and more materialistic. They could not even recognize a saintly person, what to speak of undergo the austerity to meet him in some remote place where there is no accommodation. If someone came to meet Raghunath Das Goswami or Rupa Goswami or Sanatan Goswami, how would they receive them? They could not receive them. They could not offer them prasad. They could not offer them a place to sleep because they didn't have any even for themselves. But people were so spiritually advanced that they would seek out saintly persons and, accepting so much difficulty, go to meet them and hear from them. But as Kali Yuga progressed and people became more and more materialistic, more attached to comfort, less inclined to perform austerity, the acharyas, especially Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they considered that we need some new approach to attract people. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially thought that we must now accept material opulence for the service of the Lord, to spread Krishna consciousness. Previously, sadhus used to walk barefoot. Even to wear shoes was considered a luxury. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted a limousine. You might have seen the picture where he's sitting in a huge limousine, which was considered a great luxury. But he said that devotees are actually the only people qualified to properly use material opulence. Nobody else is qualified. So actually the devotees are the ones who should have the opulences, because they know how to use it in the service of Lord Krishna. So he constructed the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, which was very opulent at the time, with marble, so many rooms, and so on. But the problem is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, having some tendency still to enjoy material opulence personally, they began to fight. When we first joined ISKCON, there was not much material facility. In fact, there were no rooms. Like here also, hardly there are any rooms. It's just one big hall. And there's no rooms to fight over because, I mean, there's no fighting over the rooms because there's no rooms to fight over. So, similarly in Boston, it was the same. There were no rooms. There was just the basement hall, and everyone lay down at night in the basement hall. And then there was the temple hall, and everyone chanted and took prasad in the temple hall. And Calcutta also When I come here, I often remember Calcutta because Calcutta was also a grand old house and just basically one hall where the devotees would chant, they would take prasad, and at night they would lie down and take rest. So we used to think fighting over the rooms, but actually when you get big places with lots of rooms, it happens. Of course, it's all in the name of service, but people think that we need this room for our service. We need this office for our service. And someone else thinks, no, he shouldn't have that. We need that. And all in the name of service. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very, very sorry when he saw that his disciples were simply quarreling over the bricks and stones. Who will have this room? Who will possess that room? And then he thought that in the mood of lamentation, he thought that if I could sell the marble from the temple and get money and print books, that would be better. So Srila Prabhupada received the instruction from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Radhakund, and he took the instruction to heart and followed it. And therefore in the West he didn't make much effort to get properties or build temples. He was more concerned to publish books and distribute them. But after some time in the West, Srila Prabhupada returned to India. And he saw that in India, he could not spread Krishna consciousness exactly in the same way as in America and Europe. In America, we were used to going out every day from morning to night, performing Harinam Sankirtan and distributing transcendental literature. But when we got to India, Srila Prabhupada said, no more Harinam Sankirtan. Because in India, so many people go on the street with kartals and sing as beggars, just to get money. So we don't want people to think that we're just beggars who want money. So then he introduced life membership. And he, of course the idea of the membership program was to distribute his books and engage the people in Krishna's service. And then he had the idea of building temples. And actually it's a fact, people were very skeptical about us for years. But people really started to take us seriously when the big temples began to open. First the building in Mayapur, then Vrindavan, and finally Juhu. And people took us seriously. And it became very easy to preach. But still, the danger is there that the facility which Srila Prabhupada built for the sake of preaching could be misused for the sake of sense gratification. Therefore we have to be very, very careful. And in one sense, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we were happier when we were living at Ultadanga. And if we could collect 200 or 300 rupees, we were living very nicely. So I see that you all also are not very eager to construct costly temples. And really, except for the big projects in Bombay, Mayapur and Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was not very eager to construct temples in India. He was more concerned that we give people knowledge. Like once he was speaking in his room at Juhu, that intelligent people are not satisfied just to go to the temple and see the pujari ring the bell, but they want some tangible knowledge. And he suggested that we should have some hall downtown and give regular lectures so intelligent people can come and feel that they're really getting something tangible, some knowledge. And I feel that the lecture series you have here, like recently you had the series of lectures on Bhagavad Gita, are very much in the spirit of Srila Prabhupada to give people real substantial knowledge. And, of course, to distribute books. So, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and all of his good followers have really shown that without any temples, without making any effort to acquire property, one can preach very nicely using people's homes, using other temples, using people's halls. And then gradually, according to the will of Krishna or the arrangement of Krishna, people themselves will offer facility. So it is very safe not to have any rooms to live in. But still, Srila Prabhupada did build Juhu, and we should also use it the way Srila Prabhupada wanted, to preach Krishna consciousness, to attract people. And we see literally thousands and thousands of people are being attracted every day. They have darshan of Radharasa Bihari, they offer obeisances, they give some Lakshmi. And they should be engaged more and more in Krishna's service. So as Srila Prabhupada himself commented that my disease, Srila Prabhupada was saying about himself, my disease is that I cannot think of anything small. I only think of very big things. So, taking into consideration all of Srila Prabhupada's instructions and all of Srila Prabhupada's desires, we should work cooperatively without any personal interest and try to fulfill his mission or his desire, which is simply to bring people to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So it is wonderful that we could all meet together here today on this auspicious occasion in the divine presence of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And I pray that we can continue to work together as long as we have these bodies in this world and also in the next world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Radha Kund ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.